making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to sing This Is Amazing Grace. The power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. With truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you'd lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Because you were forsaken, I
I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die? Love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my King. You are my Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die? My joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you.
Will the ushers come forward, please? You may be seated.
We thank you so much for 2017. We pray for 2018, Father. You would get honor and glory throughout this time. We pray, Father, that we'd give back a portion of that you have blessed us with, and you would use it to the furtherance of your gospel and training to us. In your name we pray. Amen.
How I love to read the book. to ask the deacons to come to distribute the Lord's table. And as they do, I'm going to read a couple of verses that helped us launch into this new year in 2017. And these are a little bit reminders about what Just Live It is all about. And it leads us into communion this morning. And it's from Philippians chapter 2. And it says in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." See, what it means to just live it is to live how Christ wants you to live. And we learn more about Christ, and as we learn more about Christ, we learn more about ourselves. And as we learn more about our relationship with Christ, we want to live what we know. And here's what Jesus did. He knew that we were sinners. He came to earth. We just had, I hope that you with your family had a great Christmas celebration. And I believe last week as a church we had a great Christmas celebration. Christ came to earth. Why? To die for our sins. And we come to communion this morning to remember that even though he is God, he took on the form of a servant, a human. And even though he had all authority and power, he decided to become obedient. And the obedience that he took was the obedience of death on the cross. And so as we go to communion, we remember that his body was broken and his blood was spilled. We take the bread to show us in remembrance that he actually had a physical body. This isn't just a story. It's not just made up. It's history. His real body was broken for us. He shed his blood, and that juice represents the precious blood of God that takes away the sin of the world. Because without the shedding of that blood, there is no forgiveness for your sin or for mine. And so, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to encourage you, don't take communion. Pass it on. Because this isn't meant to be something that you do to gain favor with God. It's not something that you do because everybody else is doing it. The only reason to take communion is to remember what Christ has done for you. And you are in relationship with him. You're fellowshipping with him as you take the communion, remembering that he let his body be broken and his blood be spilled for you. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you as we take the elements this morning that you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you ask him to save you, he has never turned down that request. All who have asked to be saved, God has saved. And if you ask him to save you this morning, he will save you. And if you have received Christ, let's take a few moments in silence and remember what our Lord has done for us. If you have any sin in your life, confess it. Leave it behind. You'll have mercy. And this morning, we can just end the year in a really positive note, knowing that our relationship is good with our God. Don, would you ask a blessing on the bread that was broken for us? Thank you. Jesus took the bread and he broke it. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body, this do in remembrance of me." Don, could you ask a blessing on the fruit of the vine? Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new testament of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Thank you, gentlemen. This morning, we're taking up our gift for Christ. And here's how we're going to do it. We're going to, the box is up here. You can put your gift for Christ up here in the box. And we're going to sing Happy Birthday, Jesus, okay? We're just going to sing Happy Birthday to you, Happy Birthday to you, okay, just like you do to somebody. And then we're going to sing the second time, we're going to sing Happy Birthday to you, only one will not do, take Christ as your Savior, and then you'll have two, all right? So we're going to start collecting the gift for Christ. If you'd like to give to the gift of Christ, come on up here, and let's sing it together. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
All right. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss our children to Children's Church. And as the children head out to Children's Church, take your Bible and turn to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. With it being New Year's, youth is when you're allowed to stay up on New Year's Eve, right? That's youth. Middle age is when you're forced to stay up on New Year's Eve. And old age is when you can't stay up on New Year's Eve. An optimist stays up until midnight to see the new year in. A pessimist stays up to make sure that the old year leaves. And you can tell who the optimist and pessimist are, right? This year we've been encouraged to just live it. This year the encouragement wasn't to try to do more than what you know about what Christ wants. The encouragement was to live what you know. I mean, think about this. If you only lived and were faithful to what you know God expects, and if you only lived what you knew God wanted, that'd be a pretty incredible life, wouldn't it? But just living it is a lot harder than just saying it. And so this year we've been encouraged to just live it. I want to highlight a couple things about just living it, okay? You know, every week when you come, our facilities look spectacular, clean, smell good. That doesn't happen by accident. There aren't church fairies that clean. And you know what? We don't pay anybody either. We have volunteers that do that. Lynn Anderson comes in every week and cleans. And you know what? As she does, she just lives it. We've got a crew of guys that come in every week and vacuum. Don Kilburn, Chad Kilburn, Mark Treble, Don Dreischer, they come in every week and vacuum and make sure that all the floors in this building, 90,000 square foot building, that they're all swept. They're just living it. You ever notice when you show up and on a snowy day and you can walk in without walking through a foot of snow, that the sidewalks are? There are volunteers who do that. You know why? Because we have people that just live it. They see the need, they feel the need. We have Awana workers every Wednesday that come out and listen to kids say Bible verses, that play games with the kids, interact with them, teach them Bible stories. And what happens with these adults? They're just living it in front of these children so that the children learn how to just live it. When we dismiss the kids to junior church, again, it's not like we have, you know, church fairies that just provide entertainment for the kids. No, we have people that every Sunday put time and energy and effort into preparation and teaching them something that's relevant to them on their level. Because we have junior church workers back there that are just living it. Our praise team. It's not like they just show up and just, you know, on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, they just start playing and it's like, boom, how did that come together? Wow. They work at it. They come and they practice together. They spend time in preparing and being ready, because a big part of what we do every morning is the worship, the praise through song, showing worth to God, that not just with somebody up here preaching, but with everybody singing. And it takes effort. And you know what? Our praise team, they just live it. Week after week, they're here. They just live it. They just come out and do it. In the office, Cheryl takes care of so many details. I mean, she's here all the time. And nobody pays her to be here. She just volunteers her time. And she does it because she loves God. And all the work that gets done with the secretarial around here, it's not me. And it's because there are people that decide, like Cheryl decides, to just live it for the Lord. Our sound room every week. Okay, the first time it squeaks, everybody looks back there with a funny look on their face, right? Like you've drunk some prune juice or something. But you know what? We have guys back there every week. What we see up there, what you hear, it's volunteers that are just living it week to week. Our nursery workers, praise God for nursery workers, right? It would smell a lot worse in here without the nursery workers. It would be a lot louder in here without our nursery workers. Praise God for all of those who take a rotation to work in the nursery, because as they just live it, the word of God is able to be preached and proclaimed and heard in a much better manner. I could sit here for a long time this morning with all the volunteer work that gets done around here. When we have special events, when we host, like we've hosted Bethany a couple times, Christian Services, and the Rickman House, and all of these things that take place, it's because people are just living their faith. And I want to encourage you, even though 2018, brand new theme, brand new things to talk about, continue to live your faith. Just live it. I'm going to take you just real quick through a year in review before we read Ezekiel 37. Here's a year in review. Everything that we've had preached this year. And some of you are going to go, oh yeah, I remember that. Some of you are going to go, I don't remember that. Philippians is how we started the year in 2017. Preach through the book of Philippians. And as we preach through the book of Philippians, our theme verse, it's up there on the posters. It's on the front of our bulletin this week. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that's the theme. That's, if we can just take on the mind of Christ, we'll live the way we should live. And in Philippians, we also saw that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can have an I can attitude, not an I can't attitude through Christ. Because through Christ, we can do all things. But also, in Philippians, we saw that my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Then we went on to Galatians. And we had the song every week, "You're So Vain." You probably think the song is about you, don't you? Well, the theme of Galatians was, "You're so vain, you probably don't think this book is about you." And as we looked at Galatians, we saw that there are legalisms in life. And then we saw that at the end of the book, he says, listen, just walk in the Spirit. Don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is literally the idea of just living your faith. Then we had a series on family matters, to know what God expects of you in your role, in your family, and just live your role. And then we went on to the book of Genesis, and we studied the first 11 chapters in Genesis. We talked about the fall, or creation first, God the creator of all, then the fall. And because of the fall of Adam and Eve, there was a need for a sacrifice. And that sacrifice pointed to Jesus. And then from that sacrifice, there was a time where the first two children born, one sacrificed correctly, one did not. God accepted the one that was the blood sacrifice. He did not accept the fruit and vegetable sacrifice. And so then we had the first murder take place. And then we saw humanity just get worse and worse and worse until the flood, when God hit the reset button and started over with Noah and his family. And from Noah and his family, we get all of the different races of people, all come from one. And then the Tower of Babel, where mankind was trying to achieve their own greatness without God, and so God confused the languages, and that's how we get all of the languages that we have today. And throughout the book of Genesis, we saw the point of it all was that God made everything, but also had a sacrifice, and that sacrifice was himself to atone for man's sin. Then we went to the book of Mark, and we looked at all the parables in the book of Mark. And the parables of Mark taught us the person of Jesus, his works, his power, and his authority. And the big question throughout all the parables of Jesus are you living for Jesus? Do you just try to live what you know about him? And then last month, we finished up the year talking about Christmas, right? The ugly sweater, the white elephant gift, the glow in the dark, and all of it helping us to focus on just living our faith for the Lord. Our theme for 2018, I can't tell you until next week, but I tell you what, it's not going to be as simple as just live it. Next year, we want to reach the next level. Next year, we want to aim higher. Next aim, we want to do more. We want to accomplish better. And so you just have to come next week for that theme. But I want you to think about living what you know about God. Ezekiel 37, let's read this. This is one of the great passages in Scripture. And we're going to start reading in verse 1. In chapter 36, God took Ezekiel to a mountain, and he saw basically that Israel was restored to what had been broken and taken away. And so chapter 36 was, they had gone into captivity, and God takes them to a mountaintop, and on the mountaintop he sees everything's being restored. Life is like becoming great again for Israel. Then in chapter 37, verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them that were round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. There's a valley full of bones, but not like bones that, you know, have a little bit of meat on them still. They're dry bones. Think of dried out where maybe close to being brittle. Verse 3, he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel's really smart. Because when you read the book of Ezekiel, when God asks him a question, Ezekiel almost always says, "You know, tell me." And that's exactly what happens here. And I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Again he said to me, "Prophesy upon these bones and say to them, 'O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God unto these bones, 'Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live.'" Now, a lot of you just had turkey, right? How many of you had turkey over Christmas? All right. How many of you had ham? All right. So a lot of us have seen some bones, right? Turkey bones and ham bones, right? And even with the meat on it, none of us would look at those bones and say, "Live." And if you did, your dinner guest would have looked at you and thought, "You are nuts," right? You don't look at bones and say, "Live," much less dry bones. But that's what God tells Ezekiel to do. He says, "Say to these bones, 'Live.'" Verse 6, "And I will lay sinews upon you." Okay, I'll give you tendons and cartilage. "And will bring flesh upon you," meat, the muscle, "and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. You know, the leg bone is connected to the foot bone, all right? The leg bone and the thigh bone is connected to the hip bone. And all the bones just started coming together. Verse 8, "And when I behold, lo, the sinews of the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them." So, just like God had said, start prophesying to the bones, and I'll put the tendons and the cartilage in, and I'll put the meat on it, and I'll put the flesh around it. And so that happens, and so you see these dry bones shaped back into humans. Think skeleton to zombie. Except the zombie's not going, "Ha," and trying to eat you, okay? It's just there. It's got the tendons on it, the muscle on it, and the skin on it. Verse 9. "And then he said to me, 'Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived. And they stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army." And then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, 'Our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we have been cut off from our parts.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. This vision that Ezekiel saw, it's not meant to just say, oh, that's nice for Ezekiel. Every single one of us should be like Ezekiel. Israel was at a place in their history where they had walked away from God, and God was providing judgment to them for walking away. God does that. God does not put up with those who are disrespectful and disobedient to him. And so he was judging them. But God also had promised a way back. The people, they looked around at their situations and they said, I am dry and I am hopeless. And I wonder how many of us here this morning, maybe you look back on 2017 and you go, man, 2017 was a dry year. And maybe 2017 sucked the hope out of you. The book of Proverbs says, hope deferred, or hope that's not realized, makes the heart sick. Israel was at that place. They were spiritually dry, and they did not have hope. They were just existing. They were literally, as a nation, dry bones. And we meet these people all the time, don't we? You ever try to talk to somebody in line at a grocery store? And like really listen to what they're saying? Maybe it's just me, but a lot of people, that as soon as they know that you're willing to listen, they just start dumping their problems on you. And you're like, all I did was say, how's your day been? Because we do live in a world that's full of dry bones. We live in a world that has lost its hope. And so what did God say to Ezekiel? God said, Ezekiel, I've got words for you, say them. And Ezekiel, he didn't sit there and go, well, God, these are dry bones. They're not even connected. It's not even like these skeletons are together. He didn't go, God, why do you want me to talk to dead people? Why do you want me to talk to hopeless people? He didn't say, God, I question your wisdom. Why not have me go talk to the living? Why are you sending me to a valley of dry bones? No, all Ezekiel does is he says, you know what's best, God. God says, say this. Now, Ezekiel has no idea what's going to happen. All he knows is God gave him the truth, and so what Ezekiel did is he just lived it. He sees the valley of dry bones. He sees the dry bones, and God says, tell them that they will come back to life. Think about it. You're standing there looking at a valley of dry bones. Maybe you've got some dry bones right in front of you. Not connected to anything. And so God says, say to them that you will live. I wonder how many of us would be too embarrassed to even say it. Well, I can't say that. Doesn't make any sense. They're not going to live. Look at them. They're dead. None of us, when we threw our turkey carcass out, looked at the turkey bones and said, you're going to live. But God didn't tell us any of us to, so that's good. But Ezekiel looks at the dry bones, and he says, you will live. And all of a sudden, how scared would you get if you had this vision? The bones just start connecting. And bodies start forming. He's just sitting there going, whoa. Let me tell you something about the word of God and the work of God. God brings life you don't. And we spend so much time trying to convince people, and we should. We should speak what God lays on our heart. But we spend so much energy and effort, and we think that if we say it right, or if we do it right, then maybe we can make the difference. I'll tell you who makes the difference. It's God, every time. And if we just speak the words of the Lord, and we just tell people what God wants for them, God can take the broken bones and put them back together. But God didn't stop there. God didn't say, oh good, skeletons, that's what I want. God said, tell them that they will live. And he says, dry bones, you will live. Now, once you see the bones come together and form skeletons, now it's kind of like, ooh, maybe something's happening here. So maybe you get a little bit more enthused about saying what God wants you to say. I'll tell you, that's exactly how it is when you just live it for God. The more you just live it, the more excited you get about just living it. Because literally you see in people's lives the dry bones come together. Diane Turner has been witnessing to somebody for a long time. She's been witnessing and witnessing. And just a week ago, the lady came into my office and said, I need to trust Jesus. And it's just like, wow. How often does this happen in our lives where somebody just walks up to you and says, I need to trust Jesus? You know why? It's because Diane Turner had been very faithful to just living her faith. What's cool for me is I just got the joy of praying with her. I got to see the joy of her receiving the gift of salvation. And to watch as a face that was full of hopelessness, she never shut her eyes. She didn't bow her head. She actually lifted her hands up and looked up and said, you know where I'm at, God. I need you. I trust you. Save me. When she got done, she looked at me, and all of a sudden her eyes were different because peace had entered in. Because this is what God does with dry bones, people that have lost hope. God restores the hope. Ezekiel speaks to the bones and he says, you will live. And all of a sudden, tendons start to grow in. Cartilage around the joints. Muscles start to form in to provide some strength. And then skin on top of all that. And now you have the zombie standing there. No breath in them yet. But now you have a fully formed individual ready to live. And then God says, speak. Tell them about the breath. And all of a sudden, he speaks to the wind, and the wind starts to blow, and it fills up the lungs of all of those zombies. And they spring to life, an army ready to march for their nation. We have the distinct privilege of speaking the words of the Lord to those who live in this world. And there are valleys and valleys of dry bones. And there are those valleys of dry bones are not lost causes. They are opportunities to speak the word of God. And so as we close out 2017, just because we're going to throw a new poster up on the wall and have a new theme, don't forget to just live it. Because there is a world around us that needs the transforming work of God. And if we don't tell them, how are they going to hear it? If we don't go to them, how will they know the truth? 12th Street, just live it. Speak the words of God. Allow for the truth to be told. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you so much for your great love that you loved us. Lord, when we were lost, every single one of us, you sent Jesus to die for our sins, and then you sent someone to tell us about the hope that we could have. So, Lord, as we close out this year and we enter into a new year, I thank you that we can just live our faith. And by just living it, others will come to know you. And by just living it, we will set the example that can change a valley full of dead bones and bring life. And Lord, I pray that if anybody in here right now feels like their life is dry or feels like they've lost their hope, God, you want to restore to them a joy in their salvation. So God, I just pray that they would anticipate the dry bones in their life being brought back to life. I pray, Lord, that they would look to you, the one who is able to bring life. And Father, I thank you that you want for each and every one of us to have life because Jesus came to give life and to give it more abundantly. As we close out this service, Lord, I just pray that you would be honored by the way that we sing to you, by the way that we respond to this message. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. At the beginning of the year, I had some bricks that everybody received as they walked into the building. And some of you weren't real happy to have to carry around a brick. And then we wrote on those bricks something that God wanted us to give up, to lay down. Whether it was a care, a stress, an anxiety, or maybe it was a sin. And we came up and we laid those out. And then this summer, if you go to the little courtyard over there, those bricks were turned into a bench and a little walk area. And it's all covered in snow right now, but a little place that you could go and pray because God takes our failures and he turns them into his glory. He turns our mourning into joy. He turns our sadness into laughter. And maybe you laid down one of those bricks this year. And that was in January. And now you're looking back and you're going, oh boy, I've picked that one back up. We've had a whole year where we've been trying to just live it. I'm not going to give you your brick back because God never gives us the brick back. He takes it. But I'm going to encourage you to, in your life, leave that thing back again. Because part of just living it is don't carry around the dry bones with you. God gives you a heart of flesh. He puts his hope into your life. And so as we sing this closing song, and we talk about Jesus. He's our hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And as we sing this, if you've got something you need to deal with God, close out the year and just be humble before your God. The altar's open for you to come and kneel if you need to. You can pray where you're at as well. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll be standing at the front. I would love to talk to you about trusting Christ. And let's close 2017 out, leaving the dry bones, living for God. Let's stand together as we sing this song.
I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ Savior's love through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. Stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love through the
celebration into the new year. 2018 is going to be a great year. It's going to be a year where God takes us to new and amazing places, and he will do that for you. I'm so excited about what God is going to do in your life, what God is going to do in my life. But let's not forget to just live it. Heavenly Father, you are the great God. You are Lord of all creation, all the heavens, all the earth. We bow before the name of Jesus because you are our Lamb who was slain for our sin so that we would never have to pay the penalty for our own sin. You are the great God who brings dead back to life. You are the great God who brings hope back to the hopeless. And you are the great God who gives a future. And so, Lord, we anticipate great things. Thank you for all you have done in 2017. And now, Lord, as we dive into 2018, we do so with hearts that are full of hope and joy. And, Lord, I pray that every single person here would commit to being in your word, would commit to being in prayer, and would commit to being gathered with other believers in your church. And so, Lord, we just We love you, our great God. To you, who has made all things, for your glory we are and were created. To you be glory and dominion and power, both now and forever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you and Happy New Year.